Great. So we're going to talk about the word fear today, how to recognize it. And then I read a great article about 2 weeks ago from Noah St. John. He's the same guy who wrote the book that I'm reviewing, The Secret Code of Success, with a good group of you, which is fantastic. But this was a great one about overcoming fear of rejection once and for all. So part of this call today is about that specific article, but it's also about fear in general, because I'd like to talk about that topic and talk about how it enters our lives and how it, you know, holds us back. We know that, but, you know, how do we recognize it? How do we deal with it? And each one of us deals with it in a different way. And so it's important to kind of look at that, because if you want to move forward in life, you can't allow fear to stop you, can you? I mean, is that something that's standing in the way of you achieving great success in your life? And it may be there something there that's been planted there since you were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, it's that's what subconscious is about. It's about the programming that goes on inside of us, sometimes without us even realizing it. So let's talk about just fear in general. Let's talk about the concept, because fear in and of itself, all of us have fears, right? And I put this in the first section because I think it's important. We've heard so many times that fear is nothing more than false expectations appearing real, because we like that acronym. And I've even taught a little bit on this in the past, you know, years ago. But I want people to realize that that's really not true. Fear isn't false expectations appearing real. And how do we know that? How do we know that fear isn't false expectations appearing real? Because the issue is that if a lion came walking into my office, now I don't have lions, I have little baby, you know, maybe cubs called cats, but what if a lion got loose and it came into my front door? Now, would I be in fear? Absolutely. If you wouldn't be in fear, I'm going to question whether you're a human being or not. But so fear is not false by any stretch of the imagination in many instances, right? Fear is real. It's real. And our fear is real, and there is real danger. So when we talk about fear being false expectations appearing real, that's not what we're discussing, right? So you got to be clear that we don't use that language to define fear. Since it isn't false, it is a real emotion that we're experiencing. So we get that when danger occurs, naturally we're going to have a sense of fear. And it's great to have a sense of fear, because what happens when we have a sense of fear? Our brain starts working, our cognitive at a higher level, and hopefully we come to solution instead of freeze. We don't want fear equals freeze. And we take action because we need to immediately react versus, okay, thinking through the problem and deciding, ascertaining what would be the best path for me to take. If you spend the time doing that when there's a lion walking towards you, you're in trouble, right? We don't have time. A lot of times the danger is imminent, and we have to take immediate action. And we read stories about people who take immediate action that are heroes in certain regards, right? So fear is natural emotion. So we don't make it something bad. Make it something that's healthy. Fear also arises when there is a possibility of loss. Now, this is sometimes when it's a perceived loss. So this is where I think people use the word false expectations appearing real. We tend to believe there's a loss, whether it's a loss of respect or a loss of reputation or a loss of something else, but fear arises when we feel there's a possibility of loss, or we make up this concept that there's a possibility of loss. It's just how we're programmed. Fear arises when we try something new, you know, like when we step out and we decide we're going to try, get on a new excursion. We're going to, sometimes when people start with network marketing, they have fear. Because what happens? They think, oh my gosh, I might fail. And that's why we have so many books out there. Fail Forward. Have you heard that book? It's a great title of a book, a great book. It's about how do I get rid of that fear in my life about failure. How many of us on the call today can raise our hand and say, I've failed at something? Oh my gosh. But was it a painful experience? Yes. Yes. It was painful. But here's the bottom line. What did I learn from it? How did I grow from it? And that's the beauty, to start focusing on the growth and what did I learn from it. If we don't learn from our failures, then our failures, become worthless in our life. And you never want to do that. No event in your life is worthless. No event is worth throwing away. Every event in your life, no matter how emotionally traumatic it might be, has value to it. You just need to find it. Find the value in it. It will also help you redefine the moment. Just like, you know, that when I talk about, and you guys have heard these stories before, about my brother being shot and killed by his wife, or my four-year-old grandson dying in a swimming pool accident last year, those were horrifically terrible events. And I will never look at them other than being horrifically terrible events. However, what did I, instead of, you know, looking at it as a disaster, I was able to reframe it because of what it triggered. What were the results of that? And focusing on the greatness of an event versus the loss. And the same thing about us in the failures. The same thing about taking an event as something that happened in our lives as we view a failure, and instead of wearing the badge of failuredom on your life the rest of your life, you take it and you go, wow, that was just a fact. It was just an experience. What can I gain from it? What can I gain? What meaning can I give it that's going to serve me going forward? And not about making something up. It's about really, truly gleaning with the greatness from it. So it's an incredible opportunity for you to make something great out of something that's negative. So getting rid of the concept of fear about, will I fail? Failure produces tremendous results in our life if you allow it. It also robs us of our future if you allow that as well. Fear arises when we put ourselves in relationship with someone we view as possibly more qualified. Yeah, like when we hang out with, you know, people that are really competent, we're afraid we're going to look silly. We're afraid that they're going to think we're not very smart. We're afraid that we're going to lose respect. So we rather hide on who we are, pretend, than to be real. Notice the difference. I'd rather hide and pretend than be real. Why? I'd rather be real and grow than hide and pretend and stay shrunk. So for me, being around people that are smarter than I am, that I have more intuition than I am, that have been more successful than I am, is thrilling. It's absolutely, it's exhilarating. Because it doesn't shrink me. It only shrinks me if I shrink me. Instead, it makes me better. And here's a great thought for you guys, for people that feel they have to somehow shrink around other people or somehow pretend around other people that are more powerful. If in every book on success that you read about, what is the one thing people tell you to do? Surround yourself with people who are more qualified, you know, and better and more successful than you are. Because why? Because there's a saying out there that your net worth will never be greater than the average net worth of the five people you hang around with most. So why do you want to surround yourself with people that are lesser? To make yourself feel better? To make yourself feel good about yourself? You follow what we do? So start challenging yourself and putting yourself in a posture where you're associating with people of a higher caliber, either intellectually or successfully or whatever, right? And see what you create. So just some concepts back there around fears that we create. How do we recognize fears? Because one of the things that some people have a hard time distinguishing is, what's the difference between fear and intuition, right? What's the difference between fear and intuition? Because they get easily confused. Both of them come from gut feelings. In other words, they're almost automatic responses, and that's how we get intuition comes from a response. When we put ourselves out there, we have a response inside of us. So it's a gut feeling that we have. Many of us have fallen out of touch with our gut feelings because we become so heady. We become focused only on our thoughts and our intelligent reasoning, so we don't even give credence to our gut feeling. And gut feelings are important. So how do we distinguish fear versus intuition? Well, number one, make a list of everything that you fear. So just that's a great exercise for all of us to do. I suggest you do it today, after the call or during the call, whatever you choose. But make a list of things you fear. Just start asking yourself, what do I fear? and see what your subconscious throws out there to you. What do I fear? Your conscious, subconscious will respond to you. So find, just start listening. Look at where fear has showed up in your life in the last week, month, year. What do I fear? What are the fears I have? Right? And there's some great, you know, we've talked before and I've reviewed great books before. Like one of my favorites is Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Suzanne Jeffers, I think, or something, Jeffries. I believe that's her last name, but you can look that up. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. It's a great author. She has a couple of books on fear, but that one I love because it moves you forward. So, but you want to make a list. Be clear about it. And also look at, is intuition ever wrong? Is intuition ever wrong? Right? And how can intuition be wrong? Inherently, it can't be wrong because it is just you. It's you, your gut instinct telling you something. So intuition can't be wrong. Intuition is the ability for you to understand something instinctively without the need for conscious reasoning. So it's an instinct that comes out of you. And we all have it, and we should prime it. We should feed it, not quash it, right? And the intriguing thing to understand about intuition is, though, that intuition uses past knowledge and experience to assess a situation. It's about personal needs and preferences. It's about the present, feelings that arise, choice of words, surroundings, and signs given by others. It's the present. It's staying in the present. So if you look at the distinction between intuition and fear, intuition is always about the present. It's in the moment. It's not about worrying about the past and the future. There's no worrying about past and future. So fear is distinctively different than intuition. Intuition is also neutral. It's unemotional. It's about judgment. Whereas fear is always emotionally charged. So there's a great distinction, just to help you through intuition versus fear, because people get them confused. They get fears. Fear can be good. We talked about that already. Fear, uncertainty, discomfort, that's kind of your compasses towards growth. In fact, you can find fear in relationships. You can find fear in, you know, whether it's a relationship of employment, entrepreneurial endeavors, wherever you are, you can feel that sense of fear and emotion, reaction. And what you should do when you feel a sense of fear is you shouldn't just hide from it, run from it, flee from it. It should be something that you go, wow, why am I feeling this way? And do some Sherlock Holmes on yourself. Ask somebody who you consider a mentor. And every one of us should have mentors in our life. And ask those people to help support us to move through whatever that is we're feeling. Right? So that's because fear is what causes us to grow. It helps us get out of relationships that are unhealthy. So we really want to keep focusing on the idea that fear, you know, fear is something that we want to look at as not a negative but a positive, but don't use fear as a mechanism to fail. And that's where we, you know, you can use fear as something we see and we jump through it anyway, because then we prove it that it's not something that's going to hold us back or stop us. All right, fear, let's talk about fear in network marketing, because that's where we are all. We're all in the direct sales industry, and we're in network marketing, and there's plenty of fears in network marketing. And I'm going to suggest all of the ones in network marketing are not effective. In fact, they're destructive. And so we have fears that come up. What kind of fears do we have? I come across people that fear success. A lot of people like to talk about the fear of failure as being a high fear. Do you know that the fear of success is greater than the fear of failure in our world? When you study fear, you're going to find that out. People fear success. Do you know that Marianne Williamson quote that where she says, our greatest fear is not a failure, but a fear is having our voice be heard and achieving the success that we are meant to have in life. We fear that. Now, some people go, well, how can somebody fear success? Because they're afraid of what it's going to mean. We're afraid of what it means. We're afraid of what it's going to do. Is it going to scare people away from us? Are we going to lose our friendships? Are we going to have to give up our past and our history and our background and the people we used to associate with because they no longer accept us because we're successful? People are going to chase after us for money, and we don't want to be in that position. Really? I love being chased after. it's not a chase after. It's kind of like people at my church, when they go on mission trips, they'll send me a letter trying to raise funds to go to Kenya or to go to South Africa or go to, you know, Brazil or Argentina. And I get to write checks to help support them. Why is that? Why would I have a fear of people asking for money? No. We build these things up. We make this stuff up because it helps us justify having a fear of success, right? We have a fear of failure. That's a big one too, but not as big as fear of success. The fear of failure, just we don't want to do something new because we might fail, and then we'll look stupid, and then people won't respect us, and we'll lose our reputation, and blah, 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 blah. Wow, do we have a lot of stuff going on in our brain. A lot of that stuff, that subconscious is running wild with you. It's just telling you all these falsehoods to make you, and you go, well, but Mary Jo, it protects me. I go, great, so you want to just live in a bubble. Is that your life? My life story. Well, I woke up one morning, I decided I didn't want to risk anything, so I've decided to live in a bubble the rest of my life. Great, how's that working for you? You're safe? Great. What are you creating? How are you changing the world? How is your voice being heard? What differences are you making in people all over? How are you robbing the world of your voice being heard? Wow. Think about those things. Fear of not being enough. A lot of people have that. I'm not good enough. I'm not being enough. I won't be able to contribute. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not, you know, whenever you hear that come out of your brain, you got to quash it like a bug on a windshield wiper. Every one of you is great in exactly who you are. You're great exactly where you are. What you want to do is you want to continue getting better. Life is a process. Every day is a process. Every week is a process. Every month is a process of how do I get better? How do I improve? How do I shoot for the best I can be? Don't sell out. Don't sell short. And that's that concept of not being enough. Every one of us not enough. I'm not enough to be president of the United States. Well, maybe, I don't know, looking at candidates today, I might be enough. But, there are certain things I'm not probably enough. I don't have the right background, perhaps, to do something. But as a human being, I will be the greatest I can be. That's my goal. And I set that goal, and I work on me every day to be better. And that's our goal that all of us should have. I never focus on not being enough. I always focus on I can do anything. Anything is possible. It tells me that biblically. It tells me that every book I read. It tells me everything in life. The energy field around us. Anything is possible because we all tap into that greatness. So I don't have a fear of not being enough. Fear of leaving people behind. Well, yeah, if I'm successful, I'll lose all my friends, right? So I don't really want to be successful. Why? I suggest if you're successful, you'll have 10 million more friends. Because people out there get it. They get it that hanging around with successful people is their pathway to success. So I'm going to guarantee you'll have twice as many friends, 10 times as many friends if you're successful. So don't worry about leaving people behind. Fear of the unknown. Whoa, that's a big fear out there. Because we don't know what the next corner turns. So fall in love with adventure. And this is all about the fear of the unknown. You know, we used to talk about that whole concept of comfort zone. You draw a little box on your piece of paper and you put a little dot in the middle of it, and that's you, and the box represents your comfort zone. They used to call it comfort zone. I think they still do. I just renamed it. And they could call it the comfort zone, okay? And there's your comfort zone. And somehow if you point an arrow towards one of the sides of the box, and you bounce off that side, and you bounce back to the center, and you bounce off the next side, bounce off the next side. And we do that our whole life because you know why? We don't want to be uncomfortable. We fear the unknown. Outside that box is the unknown. So we don't want to be uncomfortable. So we stay in the box. It's a fear of the unknown. Well, Mary Jo, if I go out there, I know everything I want in life is outside that box. But you know what? If I go out there, I don't know what else I'm going to get. And notice how that justifies behavior to stay inside the box. Now, the only problem with the box, as you define it, is it's really not a comfort zone. How do I know that? Because I meet people in that box every day, and there's absolutely nothing comfortable about their lifestyle. They're living a situation, their income situation, their family situation. There's zero comfort that I can see in anything around them. So I renamed the box. I call it the known zone. We live in known zones. Because why? This gets to that fear. Outside the box is unknown. It might be everything that we want in life, but it's an unknown of what it's going to look like, taste like, feel like. And we have a little fear around that because it's unknown to us. I want you to throw known to the wind. Throw it to the wind. Live your life every day. How many of you would like to have a mountain climbing experience? How many of you would like to be on the beaches of Maui right now enjoying whatever, right? How many, Lydia yelled me in the background, how many of you would like to jump on an airplane and go to Australia? How many of you would like to join me and fly to Cape Town and go visit some of our incredible orphanages down there where the children are that are getting our phytoblend powder and just being able to love on them for a week? And go to Cape Town and see the Cape of Good Hope and the monkeys running all around and all the fun, beautiful sights that you could have in travel. How many of you are like, that's what I want. That's the unknown for many of you. It's like, why do you, it's like you, if you want those things, you got to get out of your known zone. You got to get out of that comfort zone because they're not in there. Otherwise, you would have experienced all of them already. But our top fear of all these is called our fear of rejection. And we're going to isolate that one for the rest of this call because it's so crucial. It's such a stop sign for so many people. It just knocks us on our feet, or I should say off our feet, and stops us dead in the water. And it's a reason why, you know, a lot of people don't succeed in network marketing because they fear rejection. We fear rejection. So we're going to talk about that. And I put at the bottom of this part of the paragraph, I put the whole concept that circumstances create our thoughts. Circumstances are nothing more than facts. Facts. Right? Facts. So circumstances can be, and I don't mean to go back to, you know, tough times, but I'll dig into, like, the death of my 4-year-old grandson in a swimming pool. That was a fact, right? Understand what it is. It's not a thought, feeling, action, or result. All of those come afterwards. It was a fact. A fact happened in our life. They're facts. The thought. My thought was, what a huge loss. Why did this happen? Oh, you go into that, you know, immediate thoughts are, why me? Why my family? Why my stepdaughter? Why, you know, why? That's where I go. I just, you know, all these thoughts start coming through, and I started thinking, oh, my gosh, what's the world going to be like without him? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you start thinking, oh, your thoughts about devastating impact on the kids. You know, I'm a grandmother, but my heart just bled for them. This is their child. So feelings immediately came from thoughts because loss triggered all that emotional stuff, right? But from the feelings, thoughts and feelings, my immediacy was, how do I best support the situation? How can I put my feelings aside? And how do I best support the situation? So you go to the hospital, you sit there for 8 hours, you hug on everybody, you help sit down with the kid's dad, my son-in-law, and just work out organ donation because they were approached and he panicked, he didn't know what to do, and he came to the person he looked at as the advisor in his life, Mary Jo. So I had a great opportunity to be a rock in this family for the next 24, 48, 72, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. And that was the action to take to create what the best possible results from a very negative response. So notice how all of that plays out. But circumstances are just facts. And we have to recognize that. Thoughts aren't feelings. Circumstances trigger thoughts, which creates feelings. If you get this down, you can start controlling your life a little bit better because you can start understanding the process of how an event can create certain feelings. And then what is our actions to create results from it? That's your train right there, and you got to know what car you're on and put the right pieces in the right car, right? So let's talk about overcoming fear of rejection once and for all. So because fear of rejection is huge. We don't like it. And how does it rob up? How does fear of rejection? We feel that people aren't going to like us. People are going to reject us. They're going to say no. They're not going to see it our way. They're not going to agree with Manatech. They're going to hear the word network marketing, and they're going to just go, is this a pyramid scheme? Blah, 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 right? I mean, that stuff comes up, and we just fear that is going to happen. And so what is it? How does it rob us? Number one, some of you don't even share because you don't want to come up against that. You've decided it's not worth it. I talk to people out there in the industry and people about network marketing, about direct sales, and you know a lot of people won't enter our industry because they have a fear of rejection. They've tried it. Oh my gosh, I couldn't handle it. Blah blah blah. I go, wow, can we work on that? Really? Do you want to carry the fear of rejection all your life when it's just a false concept? Right? And so we know we want to get rid of it. That's why we're having the call today to talk about how do I forever get rid of fear of rejection? Because it stops you from what? We start using our brain. Fear of rejection causes this. I'm not going to call this person because they probably won't be interested. I don't want to bug them. They already make a lot of money. Why would they want this? They're going to look at me and say pyramid scheme. You notice all this stuff comes in our brain. And what does it cause us to do? Freeze, like an ice cube. It's why we look at that phone and it weighs 10,000 pounds because, you know what, we don't want to address something that might be rejection. We've decided we'd rather have So what do? Instead of calling and potentially, because we never know what somebody's going to say, but we know the statistics say 8 out of 10 people probably won't want what you are offering because that's the norm. It's not Manatech's norm. It's the norm. It's published. It's data. No one told me or shared this with me until I'd been in Manatech for probably 15 years before I learned this statistic. But yes, like 80%, 75% won't be even interested in hearing from you about what you have. So right away, you can have this expectation that 7, 8 out of 10 are not going to be interested. That's okay. Don't make it about you. It's a statistic. It's a known statistic because it says something about people aren't looking, they're not interested in what you have to offer, or never will be. So you have a huge group of people that aren't looking for anything. If you ever studied the looking zone, you understand that there are only so many people in the looking zone because they go in and out of the looking zone. You might have caught them when they weren't in the looking zone. So, but you make it bad. You make it about rejecting you. When they're not rejecting you. They've always been that way. That's their nature. That's their human nature. You can spend, the next 6 months being their psychoanalyst if you want to, or you can choose to go next when you realize how many billions of people are out there waiting to hear from you. But we make it about us. We get rejected. My goodness gracious, right? So we stop. We just decide, I'm not doing this thing. It makes me feel bad. Oh, excuse me. Get over it. Toughen up. It isn't about you. Quit being so self-centered to think it is about you. I think it's self-centeredness. Number two, we don't follow up. That's huge. Follow up. I remember when I used to travel a lot and train everywhere, and thank goodness I had that awesome opportunity this weekend in Michigan again. But I used to teach and train, and I used to teach about, rejection, not rejection per se, but I used to teach about all this follow-up, the steps, contact, invite, present, follow up, and close, right? And when I would go in a room of people with 60 people training somewhere, and I'd say, okay, so how many of you consider yourself not very good at take follow-up very seriously? More than half the audiences would raise their hand over and over again. And it's amazing to me that you can love to go present this wonderful material to people, but you won't follow up. It made no sense to me. Why would you take all those steps at getting contacts and inviting and presenting and not following up. It's like I'm going to go on an expedition to discover gold mines. Once I found it, you know what? I turned away and walked away from it because I didn't want to put in the work to dig it. Really? Really? You do all that work to find it, and then you abandon it. That's what this is. But again, they don't follow up. Why? Because your little brain goes like this. It starts going, oh, they probably are going to say no anyway, blah, 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 blah. I don't. But most of it's all based on what? It's all based on one thing, my fear of rejection. I fear they'll say no to me. And that says something about me. So I won't do it. So if follow up is your problem, I'm going to tell you that's why it's your problem. You fear rejection. You're stuck. We accept less, right? We accept, that's another way fear of rejection stops us. We just accept less. And I love people who rationalize, well, God really doesn't want me to have money anyway. He doesn't want me to go after Mammon. He says, you can't have two gods in the world. You can't have a love of man and a love of God. Blah, 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 blah. Going after money. Money is the root of all evil. Wrong. The Bible says love of money. And you know what? It's funny how I love to make money. I don't love money. I love to make it so I can use it in 101 ways and create a better world. But it's not loving money, it's loving making it because God gave me these talents to be able to go out and do it. And if I deny that, what am I really saying? I'm not going to answer that for you. You figure it out. So if I don't take the talents I've been given and I don't max out the use of those, what am I saying? So accepting less is all about what? Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of not being liked, but mostly fear of rejection. We treat Manatech as a social institution. So instead of treating it as a business operation, we treat it, well, socially I have a lot of friends. And trust me, people, I love people in Manatech who are social beings. I absolutely love them. There's some of you on the call today, and I love you being here. And I love helping you grow, and hopefully these Monday calls help you do that. And it's great. But I just pray that you're not fooling yourself that you're doing the business. You want to tell yourself honestly, you know what, I really am a social Manatecher. I love their whole mission. I love this. I love this. I love to participate on Mary Jo's calls. And you know what? Don't make it wrong. It's A-okay. In fact, we love you being a part of Manatech. What I will not tolerate, though, is you claiming that you're a business builder and you haven't signed anyone up in a year and a half, because then you're lying to yourself. So don't lie to yourself. Either take the initiative to overcome what's stopping you, which majority of it's fear of rejection, or put the stake in the ground and declare, I'm a social Manatecher and I love being a social Manatecher, right? Great, because it's about being real with self, right? And then other thing, we give up on our dreams. Somewhere along the line when you grab onto that fear of rejection and you hold onto it strong enough, you've got to be saying, in order for me to hold on to this fear of rejection, I have to give up my dreams. Is that the price you want to pay? And only you can answer that. But you better understand that's the price. And then we use rationale like, well, but Mary Jo, I'm too old, or I'm too uneducated, or I'm too sick, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, blah, blah, blah. Anytime you start hearing excuses in your head, I want you to go, excuses be gone, because that's all they are. We just make stuff up. MSUs, I love training on that too. We love to make stuff up. To justify our existence, we make stuff up. Instead of pushing ahead and busting through stuff, we love to be what? We'd love to be in that comfort zone. No. What did I call it before? Not a comfort zone, known zone, because there's nothing comfortable about the comfort zone. So don't call it comfort zone. Okay, so let's talk about this fear of rejection. So what does it mean when somebody rejects you, right? So you're presenting Manatech to somebody, and they go, you know what, I'm just not interested. So what does it mean? It means that they're saying, thanks, but I really had something else in mind, right? That's all it means. But you make it mean, oh, they don't like me, I'm not good enough, blah, 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 blah. Your brain starts going in all these machinations. Oh, if I were like Mary Jo, she would have had this person signed up, blah, blah, blah. Well, you make stuff up. Stop it. All it means when somebody says no is, hey, I really had something else in mind. You didn't do anything wrong. They're not rejecting you. Is it okay if somebody chooses not to do network marketing? Absolutely. It's choices people make. We may not agree with them, but it doesn't make them wrong, and it doesn't make us rejected. But Mary Jo, but ours is the best possible. Well, look at our products. I mean, how can they do this, this, that? Hey, hello? People have limited thought processes. They're not as educated as you might be. They have limitations. They've been influenced by their influences. Are you going to spend the next 6 months working on Uncle Elmo, or are you going to go out and find the people who, once they see the opportunity, jump on and run with you? Decision you make. A decision you make. I'm going to suggest Uncle Elmo's going to slow you down and put mud in the tires, and you're going to be dead in the – you're never going to make regional director in 1 to 2 months, national in 6 months, executive in a year, and presidential in 2 years. Never going to make that plan. Throw that plan out the window if you want to get stuck with people who you have to do psychological analysis on and support them in moving forward and breaking down all that. What you want to do is you want to find people who see it the minute they see it and then help them, who are excited about the opportunity, and take those people and say, okay, get on Mary Jo's calls, let's go through Clemmer training, do some self-development work, so they can help knock some of that stuff out of their life as well. But if they don't see it, if it takes you 6 months to break down the barrier, that's tough. That's hard. Fighting battle after battle after battle. So, again, when somebody says no to you, they're saying, hey, thanks, but I really had something else in mind. And you go, great, I'll keep you on my list, and we'll keep in touch, and maybe if things change, we can get back together again. That's what I do. I don't take them off my list. I keep my list. They get Christmas letters from me. That's great. I touch base with them because I care about them. I care. So when we look at fear as the emotion, because that's what it is, remember, circumstances create thoughts which create feelings, right? When somebody says no to you, our thought immediately goes, oh, my gosh, oh, they don't like me. And then we get fear of failure and fear of all this stuff. I won't be successful, blah, 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 blah. It's that whole trigger system. Change the triggering device, right? Change what it means. Change the meaning you're putting on these activities that happen in our life. So the emotion of fear is nothing more than an expectation of pain. Can we all agree on that? The emotion of fear is nothing more than an expectation of pain. So if we fear something, we fear rejection, so we don't call people back. Because we, through rejection, we feel pain. Because we've made it mean a rejection of us. We've chosen that's what it means, right? Notice what we've done. We've taken a circumstance and we've taken our thoughts to make that mean something that it really doesn't mean. So there's a dysfunction in that one. But any emotion of fear, once it hits us, is a feeling, an expectation that we're going to have pain, right? The fear is an expectation of pain. And here's the thing to recognize. No one wants pain. I don't want pain. You don't want pain. None of us want pain. But also look at it from the right perspective that none of us want pain, and fear, the emotion of fear, is an expectation of pain. So fear is simply a message from you to you. From you to you. Expectation of pain, right? It's an expectation of pain. I fear something, I have an expectation of pain. All right, so now start understanding this concept because it's really insightful. So if it's an expectation of pain, doesn't it make sense for us to find out what the message is? What is the message? In other words, I have an expectation of pain. Well, what is that message? Instead of trying to ignore it, hate it, trance all over it, why don't we find out what the message is? So let's talk about steps to overcoming that fear. The first step is this. When you feel a fear, Like, let's say you just connected with somebody over the weekend and you need to follow up with them, and right now you're sitting in fear. There are many of you in the call today that probably have a fear about following up with somebody that you met. If I had you in a room, I'd ask how many can raise their hand and say, Mary Jo, you're dead on that. I do have a little bit of fear, uneasiness, right? So it's a message from you to you. So this is what you do. Step one, simply acknowledge and thank your fear for doing such a great job. Hey, fear, I got it. Hey, thanks for showing up. You're doing a great job. So instead of running from the fear, thank your fear. The mental exercise that allows you to be one with the fear, acknowledging fear is not a bad thing. But misinterpreted, misapplied, everything else, it can rob you of life. That's all. That was facetious, by the way, being that's all. Because your life is critically important to all of us. So, but the moment you stop running from your fears, you're going to take away most of its power. So stop running from it and start acknowledging it. When you feel it, you can go acknowledge it. Thank your fear for doing a great job. Number one, acknowledge it. Secondly, ask your fear, what is the pain that it is trying to protect you from? Start dealing with your fear. Stop. Feel the fear. Remember, Susan Jeffers, feel the fear and do it anyway. Well, I'm telling you to talk to the fear. And this is a process that really came from Noah St. John, which I think is brilliant. Talk to the fear. What is the pain that you're trying to protect me from? And start writing, journaling about what is the pain they're trying to protect me from. And you can ask, start answer, put your answers in and ask some additional questions like, when was the last time this happened to me? What does this remind me of? Who does this person, situation, feeling remind me of? What else can you tell me about this fear? All these questions, you'll get answers from your subconscious. Your brain is always answering questions, so just ask the questions. Figure it out. Because all of these questions are based on things that have happened in the past. Why? Because we can only be afraid of two things. We can be afraid of things that remind us of something that happened in the past causing us pain. So what? We have a reference point. Hey, when I did this before, this is what result I had, and I had pain, so I'm not going to do it again. Wow. When I went out and I shared Manatech with somebody before and they said no to me, I felt rejection, so guess what? I'm not going to do it again. Hello? Things we're imagining might cause us pain in the future. So the other way that this can happen, of being afraid, right, exactly, something in the past, is things we're imagining might cause us pain in the future. We imagine pain. So it's not just past events, but it's also we imagining pain in the future. Fear is simply a learned response to pain. It's a learned response to pain. And recognize some people go, well, just don't ever have fear. And I kind of live my life that way, but I can't tell other people to do that because fear is a learned response to pain. And fear is what? You can't really talk yourself out of being adverse to pain. None of us like pain. So pain will happen in our life. Right? Everybody clear on that? But what happens is we start allowing the fear to control our life. And that's where we have to stop. We need to deal with the fear, communicate with it, and figure it out. Because why? Because the only things that we can be afraid of are things that remind us of something that happened in the past causing us pain, or things we're imagining might cause us pain in the future. And find out what that is. Simply acknowledge the fear, thank it for existing, and then say, what is the pain that is you're trying to protect me from? What is that pain that they're trying to protect me from? And then we all need to recognize that 80% of the people out there are going to reject you. I don't call it rejecting me. I call it, I just rephrase it for me. They're not rejecting Mary Jo. You call it rejection because they say no to you. I call it somebody who just doesn't have the vision. There are a lot of people that don't have vision in their life. How many people do you see? I can talk about just being at church yesterday and looking around the pews. I love my church members. I go and love on them. I hug on them. I help them. I support them. I work with them. I bake things for them. I make food for them. I go to their homes. I go to the nursing homes. I go to the hospital visits. I do all those great things. I love all of that stuff. But you know what? A lot of those people are stuck. They're stuck. I can give them everything. I can lead the horse to water, but I can't cause the horse to drink. Everybody get that? That's a great saying. But it doesn't say anything about me. If the horse doesn't drink the water, why is it Mary Jo's fault? Why am I wrong? Why am I the bad guy? I'm never the bad guy. I'm just a human being trying my best. Working my hardest at trying to supporting people to make better decisions for their lives so that they can live more fulfilled lives. And if you believe Manatech is all about transforming people's lives, then why would you ever allow fear of rejection to stop you? Because then you're not really committed to transforming people's lives. So acknowledge 80% of the people are going to say no. They're going to say no. But again, what are they saying? They're saying, I really have another idea in my life. I really have a different direction going on in my life. It's not about you're not adequate, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. And some of that, maybe, you know, each and every one of us, does that mean we can't get better at what we do? Absolutely not. I work on me every day. I see changes in me every day. I come from more of my heart every single day. So get it. Quit looking at our life like everyone needs to like us. And be able to understand it when people don't, because people aren't going to like you. Let me give you an interesting story on that before we close. I was one of those kids that grew up. Some of you know I had a family of four. I was a baby, four kids, 3.5 years my mom had, which is ridiculous in the first place, but that's what they did. They got married older. She was born in 1920, and they got married at, she was 30 years old when she got married. But she would always tell you she'd been engaged 7 times. She was an absolutely beautiful woman, absolutely beautiful. Model, and she became an artist, went to art school and became a dress designer. So had a career. Anyway, she gets married, right? And so 4 kids, 3.5 years. I came out of the womb, and I was the one that was gifted this personality of outgoing and loving on people and just having a blast and kind of that inherent, like, leadership characteristics. People would follow me. So, like, when I was 5, I was the head of my baseball team in the neighborhood. I had 2 older brothers. But I was the captain of the baseball team, and I was the youngest. They were 6 and 7 year old, and you can imagine, not a lot of girls, mostly boys, but I was the captain at 5. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of funny stuff that happened. But, you know, as I went on, at 6th grade, it wasn't until junior high and high school that you had class presidents and student council stuff. But in 6th grade, for some reason, we had decided we were going to have a class president. And I ran, and the guy who ran against me was a boy, so I just counted up that there were more girls than boys in my class, so I ran on a pure sex ticket, you know, that girls should be supporting girls. And, of course, I won. I was pretty insightful in 6th grade. In fact, my 6th grade teacher said that I'd be the first female president of the United States. That's what he predicted. He told my mother that, which is hilarious. But then I got into junior high, and I was always president of class and president of student council. In senior high, people just stopped running against me finally. It was hilarious. But all my life, I had lots of people around me, and I was very effective in leadership. And then I went to college, and this gal in my freshman year of college, this gal I came across from some, you know, other state, she didn't like me. And I went into the darkest place that I could remember that I'd been in my life at that time. I didn't understand how somebody wouldn't like me. Isn't that funny? Now, a lot of you, I know, are relating, going, Mary Jo, that happened to me when I was 5. and probably a lot harder for you to handle and tackle at 5 than it was for me at 18, my first year in college. But I remember how the devastating impact on that whole situation was just trying to figure out how somebody couldn't like me. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it was really, but it was that deep of a desire in my life. So I understand when Noah St. John says that we're all driven to be liked. We want everyone to like us. And it was that experience in college that helped me understand the fact that, you know what, Mary Jo, people aren't going to like you. They're different from you. They have different value systems. They have different goals in life. They have different attitudes. They have different judgments. They might not like outgoing people, so you're just falling in a category of you're a person they're not going to like. They might be offended by people that talk a lot. You tend to talk a lot. They're not going to like. There are going to be aspects of you that people don't like, and thus they are going to suggest they don't like you. You know, it was just a really incredible process that I went through at 18 years old. So I lived the rest of my life understanding that I wasn't going to be liked by everybody. I have no problem with it. And then through self-development courses, of course, we find out that that not only aren't we going to be liked, but it's unimportant. If the importance in your life is to be liked, you've got the wrong triggering device running your life. The importance is to be true to your core values. So figure out who you are. What's most important to you in life? What are your core values? And go out there and live according to those core values. And when you live according to your core values, you really live this incredible life of, hey, people don't like me. I feel badly for them that they don't see the light, but it's okay. Because as long as I'm living my core values and not varying from those, I'm going to be as joyful as you could ever dream of. My happiness comes from that. It doesn't come from, joy doesn't come from somebody liking or not liking me. And that's where you want to stand in your strength of who you are and being the good person that you know you're called to be. And thus creating happiness and joy, not because people like you or not like you. And because my core value is contribution, my number one, there's nothing going to stop me from sharing Manatech. Doesn't matter if 80% of the people say no to me. I wouldn't, it matter if 90%, because it's my calling here on earth to go and help people transform their lives. And Manatech just happens to be one of the vehicles I use. And not the most important one, but one of the vehicles I use to help transform people's lives. So I put this quote at the end of it, you know, we all now, it says, your purpose here on earth is to be and express who you really are and to bless others through that expression. This, however, doesn't mean you won't be rejected. That is exactly why you have nothing to fear. So you now have a choice. You can choose to continue to try and make everybody happy, knowing full well that you'll never be able to do it because it's impossible, or you can step into the strength of who you are and bless others through that expression of strength. Okay, great people. Hope you enjoyed the call. Dig deep on that. Overcoming that fear, all your fears, is a great place to live. Not all of them. I want you to fear if a lion walks in your room today, as one did in mine, called my cat. But it's just something to really think hard on, work on, spend some time mulling over this if you feel like this is a place you're stuck, because you want to get rid of that. You want to eliminate that stickiness, that glue on that fear of rejection. It shouldn't exist in your life. Stand tall in who you are. Okay, everyone, great. Well, any questions, comments before we go?
Mayor Jo, this is Diane.
Yeah. Hi.
I am in the process of overcoming tremendous fear and procrastination and stuff, and I'm taking your class with...
I recognize your voice from our Wednesday class. Yeah.
Okay. So do I ask why am I so Why am I able to overcome my fear, or do
I go
as a question. The other direction?
Yes.
Say how? Why is this so easy?
Yes. Why is it so straightforward? You may not use the word easy.
Well, I mean, you know,
why is it so simple to see fear, my fear of whatever it might be, pick up on what that fear is, right? Because to overcome the fear, you kind of want to figure out where it's coming from. You know, what am I fearing? If you fear of rejection, if you fear of failure, fear of success, fear of whatever.
Okay, so it's more, why am I able to overcome the fear?
Well, right. Why am I able to conquer fear? Why am I so capable of conquering my fears?
Okay.
Great question.
Thanks.
Great question, Des. Affirmations. Great. Anyone else?
Is there a reference to the article?
A reference to which article?
Oh, Noah St. John's.
Oh, Noah St. John's? Yeah, I think you can get it. It's order it. It's going to be of something that you'd have to pay for. It's not just an article. We paid for something off his site, and he gave us three articles off of that. I could probably send out a reference there. You can go to, is it Noah St. John's website? You can Google him and write down how to overcome the fear of rejection. But you really, trust me, you got the nuts and bolts of it. His article is only about 10 pages long, and you've gotten, you know, basically out of what I gave you today, what's in that article. But if you feel like that's a real, you're really stuck, that would be one place. Another, getting the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers, is it? Susan Jeffers? Yeah. That's another great book to use to overcome that.
Thank you.
You bet. Great. Okay, people, love you. Have a great week. Let's go out and make things happen. And when you feel that fear, I hope you can go back to this training, maybe re-listen to it, and just really, maybe that's your goal this week, is to start really attacking those fears, because man, they can stop you dead in the water. And I want to hear, and I want to feel, and I want to experience the greatness of every one of you in this world. And to do that, we've got to put some of this stuff behind us, right? We got to get rid of it, dispose of it. Like, write down your fears on a piece of paper. Here's another thing I love people to do. Write down your fears on a piece of paper, crumple it up and burn it, throw it in the garbage can. Just the activity of doing that sometimes helps people start in the casting aside of things that they no longer want to claim. And you don't want to claim them right now, but somehow in your subconscious they're stuck there. So we dig it out and we spew it out. Many ways of doing that, but let's attack it. You got to be willing to attack it and not live in it. And, you know, we sell ourselves short by living in fear. Okay, everybody. Love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.